Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Diving into some of the surviving quarterbacks. I think there's some really interesting and notable quarterbacks that survived the NFL draft. I think the first and most critical one, perhaps, is Matt Ryan. And he has the, he's, I think that this situation could get a lot better for Matt Ryan. You might lose Julio Jones. We'll see sort of what that all boils out to be. But I do think you're going to get you get Kyle Pitts. You have Calvin Ridley. And you've got a really, really good offensive an offensive scheme. You have a coach that I truly, truly believe in is very, very high upside there with Arthur Smith. So he did a lot of good things well. And throw it with play action is one of them. And so we've consistently seen that play action passing is more effective than just straight drop back passing, unless your name's Derek Carr. And Matt Ryan is, along that line as well. So he is in the positive category. It's a good thing for him. There's some quarterbacks, very few, that struggle with it, Derek Carr being one. But that should help Matt Ryan, I think a couple of tenths of a yard per attempt type of improvement. So on top of any other stuff, just that alone can really make a big difference. So marginal gains. So that he's one. Again, I think he's locked into a couple year deal at this point. They didn't even really draft a backup. Like, they didn't even draft a developmental guy. I thought maybe Kellen Mond, Kyle Trask, someone like that could all be very, very much in the potential of being a backup developmental type. But it's basically him, and they signed AJ McCarron. So I think that's a notable situation. They're not really on a developmental track. And the one thing I'll say, Arthur Smith could have chosen pretty much anywhere to go. He picked Atlanta, and there's a lot of things that Atlanta does not offer. Cap space being one of them. Lots of roster restructuring. The thing they do have amongst all of the positions, all of the jobs that he really had available to him, was a starting quarterback that's established and capable of that we have seen going to a championship game, going to a Super Bowl, all that stuff. So that is I think that's pretty interesting, and it shouldn't be terribly surprising that they held with Matt Ryan. So he's one that, early on in the process with some of these quarterbacks, I was a little hesitant, right? I was a little bit nervous about going the route of, of the veteran quarterback, just because I thought that there was some risk there. Matt Ryan, you had draft risk, you had potential cut risk. They've restructured him. It's now a couple-year deal, essentially, at the minimum, and they have no threat to him. So you sort of look at him, his median right now in our real draft position, which has grown exponentially in terms of amount of drafts recently. We're up to, it's like 35 in the past, we'll call it like 28 days. So we're getting a big time sample in terms of what his is going to be. I expect him to rise to 709. I'm not necessarily certain I'd advocate this, but I might give this one a shot to run out, Stafford in the fifth, which has actually dropped pretty significantly recently. And he's behind all the rookies too, which is pretty notable, with the exception of Mac Jones. So Stafford's way down. So you could go Stafford, Tannehill, Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins in that range, that fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth round range. That was a range that hadn't really opened up early on in the process. Now I think it's totally doable. And if I'm sort of going to attack the position, we're either going to go super max early, or I think there's a really compelling argument to trade out of the first round, get a couple of shots. I don't want to give back like a sixth or a seventh, but if you want to go take a couple shots in the mid second, the second, the third, basically, four guys up in that range, I think that's doable. That trade is something that I've seen multiple times be done. So that's all, that's really interesting and compelling to me, is basically to move out of the first to get to the second and the third. I don't want to give back like a sixth. I think that's a waste. And I think actually being on the trade upside of that is actually the right play. But if you could sort of go second to third, and you know, and maybe it's a later pick swap or something like that, where you go 3 for 2, so you're really fully getting that two top 24 picks out of that deal, and not giving back something in the 50s, where I don't think it's that big of a drop down. That's really interesting. And if you wanted to sort of go the way the board strikes, if you wanted to go a couple running backs, a couple wide receivers, I think that'd be pretty interesting. Throw a tight end in there up early. The only problem I will say with going quarterback late and sort of hitting the Stafford, Ryan, Tannehill, or Ryan Tannehill, Matt Ryan tier, Kirk Cousins, that sort of range of the position. The only problem I will say is that you're not getting the wide receivers in that range who are pretty high value. So that's the only thing that I would really say about that. It's sort of you're whiffing on you're taking a devalued position with probably a little bit less longevity than the receiver position in that range. So that would just be the one thing that I would sort of note with that strategy, that you're foregoing some value at other positions. But listen, if you're in a tight end premium, super flex, something like that, and you want to stack, you know, you want to double up on tight ends or something like that, it is a doable strategy to go after quarterbacks in the teens. Now it is. I didn't think it was in January. I didn't think it was in February. Post-draft, it absolutely is. If I get in a couple startup drafts late in the process, probably going to pass on quarterback early and see what we can do with that late-term build. That's a build that I really like. I like to do that, but I think it's timely. It's specific to a couple of times a year, which is when we have a lot of the information on quarterbacks. We want to be locked in on that. So that's really the play there. Another one is Goff. So no competition for Goff. Really like that. I think it's a couple year window in Detroit. He links back up. And listen, I think it could be even more than that. I know that the situation's not great, but you do have you have a couple veterans. And if the passing game is going to run through Swift and Hockenson, like that could be a really, really interesting upside type of situation. So. For those guys. And again, maybe that turns into being something on the quarterback two landscape for Goff, but I think it's absolutely viable. And certainly one that could, be more than just 2 years. I do think that if in 2 years you're sort of putting together the quarterback position, I think it's going to be a tough, it might be tough to find multiple, you might not have that many starting, quarterback options out there, and I still think Goff could rank pretty highly at that position in terms of like if how many starting quarterbacks are there walking the face of the earth at a given time. Like Goff might still be in like the top 20 or 25, and that's kind of not replaceable, not easily replaceable. So I think Goff could really hang out at the position and probably be a little bit. I think there's more than just a 2 year window for him, as his upside. So that's really the big one. The other one's Ryan Fitzpatrick, which is pretty notable. He's going to get a shot with Washington, and I don't see a clear route for Washington to address the position going forward either. So that's one that like, you could give me the over under on 16.5 career starts for Ryan Fitzpatrick for the rest of his career, and I'd probably take the over, because I like if he wants to be the starter in 2021, if he plays well in 2020, which I expect he can, there's some good weapons there. You've got Antonio Gibson, you've got McKissick, you got Logan Thomas, not huge fan of, but you've got him. You've got the receiving core as well of McLaurin and they've added Curtis Samuel, and they brought in De'Ami Brown, who will probably contribute a couple of pick sixes for Ryan Fitzpatrick, if we're being totally honest, just by not finishing off his routes in contested coverage, and then Fitz will sling it in there, and it'll be fireworks going the other way. But I do think that is a situation which, you know, you're looking deep at the position too. You know, I'm in a situation right now where I'm going to have some depth going forward at the quarterback position. And, you know, honestly, like I could see a scenario where, Fitz is my like third or fourth quarterback in a super flex, but he's not going to draw a huge return in terms of value. Like I'm probably going to outkick his, his valuation in terms of usability. You know, over the next couple of years, is he going to outproduce a guy like, you know, Daniel Jones, who's going 8 spots higher than him, something like that? It's very real possibility. So I'm probably going to benefit from Ryan Fitzpatrick by selling the guy higher up the board and just rolling with him, right? Because I do think that I'm more bullish on him than the market is, and I think the way to do that is to extract the value at the position ahead of them, and then you're trying to backfill. You know, it's, if that's you get future rookie capital, or you know, you take Mac Jones this year late in the draft and sort of say, all right, well now I've got Ryan Fitzpatrick, I got another starter, I've got Mac Jones, and I can trade my other, you know, another starter, right? So I've basically got, in that scenario, you've got basically, you know, 2 starters higher than Ryan Fitzpatrick. You've got Ryan Fitzpatrick, then you sort of backfill with Mac Jones. And you can say, listen, I can deal off one of my higher end starters, you know, use Ryan Fitzpatrick in the quarterback 2 role, and I've got Mac Jones on the development track, and you know, I could sort of continue to backfill the position from there. I don't think that's a bad strategy. So I'm pretty bullish on Ryan Fitzpatrick and some of these contests and stuff. I'll probably have him as a guy this year. Those are the big stories. I think the two guys that get hurt, obviously, are Cam Newton. That hurts pretty bad in terms of, you know, I'm not sure how much viability he's going to have after this year anyways. He was pretty bad last year after he had COVID. So we'll have to see sort of what his track looks like, you know, and if he can sort of, you know, maybe he uses this is a Aaron Rodgers type scenario where he gets really fired up, amped up, and comes out and performs really well. I think that's something we could see. I don't know if he's got necessarily anything like that ceiling that Rodgers has, and we'll sort of watch for that. Maybe he tries to hit a developmental track type of thing to go on and be another bridge type quarterback with another position. You know, like there's a link there with Washington, for example. Like you could sort of see him trying to fill a bridge, but he's got to really play well this year. And if he plays well this year, he could put them. He could conceivably hold on to that job through the year. But again, if he doesn't play well, like this could be his last opportunity to be a starter. So I think that's kind of where you're at. So he's going down. He's quarterback 31. And again, if you told me who do you take in terms of future starts, Ryan Fitzpatrick or Cam Newton, man, that's a tough bet in terms of going forward. If we see Cam Newton look like he did at the end of last year, it could very easily be Ryan Fitzpatrick, which is pretty unthinkable. Jimmy Garoppolo is another one that I actually have come around to. Jimmy Garoppolo, like if you look, he's been quarterbacks over the past, like I think it's 2017 that I looked, with like 1,000 snaps, he's like in the top 10 in terms of expected points added. You say a couple of things about that. First, you could say that's all Shanahan, which I could sort of, you could sort of convince me of that, that Shanahan plays a big part in that. But I don't think Shanahan's just going to do that with any person. So I think there is some value to Garoppolo. If he leaves there, it's probably going to go down in terms of his production. Like that's a really conducive system to fantasy production. I'm not sure where he goes from here. I don't know. It looks like they're going to bring him back and sort of play him this year at this point. And, you know, the return to New England's probably not quite as likely now. But we turn the page, you know, 12 months, if he plays well, could he rehabilitate his stock? I think he could. He really needs to stay healthy. He needs to kind of stay healthy and fend off for a while anyways Trey Lance to prove that he's, that he can be a guy for someone going forward. So he's one that, you know, at he's going quarterback 35. I expect that to probably fall a bit. That's like the Drew Lock range. Like he can definitely play more than Drew Lock can. So I think, you know, that's 13th, 14th round in startup drafts. Like I'm fine going that range with him. Like I'm fine, you know, taking a shot at him if that's like a quarterback 4. Like I think there's some viability there. You know, some future viability there, even if it's not, you know, with San Francisco. You know, Teddy Bridgewater, we'll have to see. He goes to Denver. He's going 18th round of startup drafts. I expect that'll go up just because I think he's probably much closer to a starting job than he was in Carolina post-Darnold. So he's going quarterback 41 is his median there. So that's one to watch. And the other big follower is Andy Dalton with the selection of Justin Fields. Andy Dalton was one that, you know, I don't think the situation is all that great in terms of some of the supporting cast, but I thought that he was, you know, he had a pretty good look at a job. He might still play for a good chunk of this year. We'll have to see. But again, at quarterback 35, he's more of like a kind of that Ryan Fitz. He's like a lower end Ryan Fitzpatrick in terms of, you know, trying to offer some basically spot start types. That's kind of what you're depending on him for at this point. So that's a rundown of the quarterback position. Let me just, why I'm doing this, I'll just give you a sort of a breakdown of where the quarterbacks are, the rookies are in terms of their startup medians. So we do have 35 drafts in the past like 28 days. So it's a good sample of Superflex stuff. We're incorporating more every day. I expect it's going to just keep sort of upticking. So we have a lot of dates. We have a lot of data. Go in there. You can adjust the date range. That'll sort of get you, you know, I think our default is like 30 days. You sort of tinker with it. And as sort of the days after the draft go along, sort of shrinking it down, really starting with the draft and sort of seeing player movements. Just there's not a ton of sample there yet. So we get the past month here, we got a good chunk of drafts, like more than one a day, which is really nice. So Trevor Lawrence at first round, he's going quarterback 7 off the board is his median. 110. Burrow's 112. He's at quarterback 8. Russell Wilson's also his median's quarterback 8, going just behind Burrow overall, just by one spot. So they're pretty close. Again, give me the Russell Wilson profile. Justin Fields at 303. Rodgers is a notable faller by about a round over the past month. That was totally predated any of this recent rumor stuff, so I'm not super worried about that. Deshaun Watson's fallen. He's basically down two rounds now. He's at 306. And if you sort of plot that out, that is essentially between Fields and Lance. Notably, Lance was at 407. Fields was at 303. A lot of that is pre-draft. They look like they're going to go real close together right now in terms of where they're going in actual rookie drafts. So that gap probably closer. And if I had to guess, that the Lance pick would probably is going to go end up going before Deshaun Watson, right? Lance will end up going before Deshaun Watson. Again, listen, I think that's a glaring valuation for Watson. So if you can sort of do that in a rookie draft and sort of transition to Watson, like you're gonna take your pain, you're gonna take your medicine with Lance, you're gonna take it with Fields, you're gonna take it with a lot of these guys. Probably in year one, you're probably not gonna get viability year one. But if you turn out 12 months from now, you might not get viability from Watson either this year. If you turn out 12 months from now, I think we know who Deshaun Watson is. Not sure we're going to know who these rookies are. So that would just be the thought that I would say if you're sort of dealing in that range. I think that's pretty interesting. When you sort of look at that range too, it's behind Pitts, for example. It's probably behind Harris. We'll sort of see how that situation all unfolds. But you're looking for right now, you're looking in the – you're really looking like the 104, 105, 106 type range straight up. If you were to just sort of go down the board in terms of startup valuation, I've done deals for Watson revolving around like 109. So I do think that there's some value opportunity there as well. So that would be the big thing that I would see there. I've done prior pods on that. So you can go back and check out sort of some of the strategy I had behind all that. So Fields and Lance, I expect to tighten up. Wilson is at quarterback 15, which is median. I expect that'll tighten up too. He's going behind Hurts. I think there's a lot of danger in Hurts right now. Hurts is going, he won't end up going ahead of Lance, I don't think, once we get some more data in. But he's going right around Wilson. He's going ahead of Mac Jones. And he's going ahead of Ryan Tannehill, Tua, Stafford, Baker, Cousins. There's a lot of danger in there where he's going. Notably, Carson Wentz is going quarterback 20 is his actual median. That's 608. And he's going ahead of Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, Derek Carr, Jameis Winston is going at 27.5. So that's one that's going to be a clear avoid for me. So Right, well, that'll do it. It's more of a, it was a run, meant to be a rundown of just specific veterans, you know, of the changing value variety after the draft, but incorporate a little rundown of the entire position here. So go ahead, check out the Real Draft position tracker. You can sort of sort it. It's great. It's a lot of fun to sort of tinker with and all of those things. So go ahead, check that out. And until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.